Hey, thanks so much for joining us today on our Rock podcast here at Reach Out Church. We're excited you're with us and we get this opportunity to share with you just some different things we feel God is saying to us and some discussion questions. This specifically has been a Q&A, some questions that you have asked that we want to answer, and we want to give a godly perspective on it to the best of our ability. So we're going to dive right in today. I have some special guests joining me today. We have Aaron Forster, who is our young adult leader here at the Reach Out Church and happens to be my brother as well, and I'll say my better looking brother. He's here with us. And then I've got Eric Ford with us, who's our youth group leader. He is engaged and preparing to be married in the near future here. So that's coming up real soon, and we're excited for him. And myself, as I mentioned, I'm John. I'm the assistant pastor here. And I've been married for about 12 years. So these topics and questions that we have are specifically on dating and what that looks like in our culture and what's going on. So we're going to do our best to tackle these questions and share with you what we believe is God's perspective to the best of our ability on these things. So without any further ado, we'll dive right in. You guys ready?
Yep.
Yeah, cool. Why not?
Cool. Well, I appreciate you guys being here and jumping into this. I'm sure, especially in the groups that you guys lead, you deal with questions and situations around this issue of dating and what that looks like in the church and in a godly way often. So we really appreciate you making the time to be here with us today to tackle this. So the first question that I have on my list is an interesting one here, and I like this a lot. It says, is my boyfriend or girlfriend godly enough? So this is an interesting one. So anybody want to jump in and tackle this one?
Well, if you have to ask, I would say probably not.
great peas in a pod, man. That's the first thing I thought of. I was like, if you got to ask that question, there's a good chance it probably isn't. I would say for whoever's asking that, pray for discernment. I think that's a really good question in discernment. And even ask them some questions. Like, do you know popular Bible verses like Philippians 4:13 or whatever, but I would say the biggest thing is praying for discernment.
So, Eric, would you mind just expanding on discernment? What do you mean by that? Are you suggesting they pray and they're asking God for in that? If you're putting it in common language, I know discernment we use in the church all the time, but what does that mean to you when you're saying pray for discernment?
Discernment as in, like, clarity. Like, God, is this person, like, all about you, or is he just kind of like a fan? Like, something I heard from a church is like, are you a fan or you're a follower? You know, fans are the ones who's up there in the stands. Are you a follower? Are you actually on the field playing the game? And like that is like, does this person just go to church just to go to church? Or does this person like actively follows and pursues Jesus with all their heart and all their, and everything?
I love that. I think that was well said, because it takes it from that point from being just something they talk about or know some knowledge about to, is it a part of their life? Are they actively pursuing God? And that's the person that you as a passionate follower of Jesus want, is somebody that's running the race with you, not somebody that's just existing there in your space, but they're actually passionate about their relationship with God. Do you have anything you want to add to that one?
Yeah, so I fully agree with what you guys are saying there, and I think a simple way to look at that is, specifically if you're involved in a church, is that person there beside you, basically, or are they around while you're doing different things in the church as well? So if you like to volunteer or anything, are they around? Because you kind of want to be evenly yoked in that manner. You want to be doing these things together. It's not something, and they might be doing different aspects. It's not necessarily going to be the same exact areas or same exact roles, but they're involved in the church or at least related to it in that way.
Absolutely. Like, I think, Eric, you're probably a good example of this, where you're a social butterfly. You like being around people and hanging out, where your fiance isn't as interested in all of that. She's a little shyer, a little more reserved. And I think that's a good example of you don't have to do the same things. Like, she's not going to be interested in being the youth group leader, but that's something God's called you to be, and that's okay. Right. You can still be different, and God's still calling you to be together. You know, that it can be a good thing. You know, that your strengths and your weaknesses complement one another rather than something they have to do exactly what you're doing or have it at the same intensity level, because there are personality differences, mm-hmm. and that's okay. But what we're talking about is a passion for God, that basically, you know, they care about their walk with God, they're pursuing Him, and they're growing in their relationship with God in an active way. They're not passive about that. So, yeah, that's always my recommendation when people are interested in dating somebody is take a look at that and say, are they passionate and pursuing God in a real and a way that is evident to you and to the people around them. I think that's huge. So, cool. Yeah, I hope that answered that question. This one's a good one. I'm sure you guys deal with this often in the fields you work in here. Is there too fast in Christian dating?
Me and my friend would always, like, joke about this all the time. Like, whenever anybody goes to Christian school, it's like first month of dating. By the end of the semester, they're already married at this point. Is there too soon? Honestly, you just gotta go by God's standards, you know? Do I honestly believe that, you know, you know, when you first start dating, and then 1 month you're like, okay, hey, let's already get married the next month later. I'm like, no, I think you gotta do some premarital counseling before that, and try to get to know each other a little bit more. But, I've known people who've dated for years and they got married and then they got married. I know people who got married and within a year. So I don't think there's no real time limit. I will say, going back to what I was saying earlier, you know, you just gotta kind of like navigate through life with God and, you know, kind of like pray about it and figure out when is the right time to do it.
Yeah, I'm going to chime in on this one, actually, too, yeah. Where too fast in dating. I think when I hear that question, my mind doesn't instantly go to even marriage and stuff, but I would caution that, too. When I think of this, I think of, like, the progression of the relationship, almost. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, we go from now we're dating, now we're holding hands, now we're kissing, now we're doing all of the things that couples do. And I would say, yes, there can be too fast, and there should definitely never be pressure in those areas as well. It should be something that there is a comfortability with it. And obviously, and I'm going to say this up front too, that the Bible is very clear about premarital sex, that sex is to be safe for marriage. You know, that's something we have a strong stance on. So I'm not even broaching that subject, but even in the other areas that could lead up to that, and eventually leading to marriage and all of these things, this is a very big deal. Who you date matters. Who you know, how you go about this is a big, significant issue. And so there is too fast. And I think it is something that society would tell us, time is not your friend in this. That time, you need to find the person, latch onto them, and get married, you know, make that next step in your relationship. Where I would say, truthfully, in my experience, time is your friend in this, that you can pace yourself, you can take it slow, you can take your time to get to know people before you make a commitment in a long-term relationship. And I would suggest that you take the time, get to know each other, or in different environments, whether that's mm-hmm. on a date, you know, with friend groups in different areas, different environments, so you know how they respond to certain things, so you truly get to know this person in the different elements of who they are and what settings and things like that. So I would strongly suggest taking your time and viewing time as your friend in this, that you don't need to rush in. It's not like once you hit 30 years old that it, you know, the stopwatch starts and you got to get married before you're 32 or you're doomed. that's not how it works. You know, that God can lead you and guide you no matter what age you are. And even if you are 18, you know, maybe God has somebody in your life now even too. Whatever that is, that you're prayerful about it, you're seeking God, and you are taking your time. You're not rushing into something because you're afraid they're going to jump to somebody else or something. If they do that, that's not the person for you anyways. It's very much my view, so take your time with that.
I would even add to that that some people, even some Christians-wise, they would get married really quickly just to have sex.
Sure, sure.
And I'm like, that you're almost as wrong. Like, it's... I mean, you're in a way not honoring God in that, in a way, because you're moving in fast for a covenant that's not meant to be broken, just for that. It's not really a good, valid reason to move fast. So
it's well said.
Yeah,
I agree with that. Awesome. All right. So our next question. Has Facebook ruined dating? What do you guys think?
So this isn't something I have any experience on, technically, because I've never been on a date or anything. But I don't think it has in that regards. Because I'm picturing it where Facebook allows you to have access to see glimpses of someone's life that you may have in the past had a take longer to see potentially and stuff, so you're kind of getting these hints and different aspects of it. But ultimately, if you're truly going to be dating, you're going to be learning these things anyways. Plus, in reality, Facebook isn't everything, or social media. It's not just Facebook, but Instagram or whatever social medias there are right now, where, sure, it might show glimpses or aspects of it, but it's never the whole picture. You never see what else is going on or what's going on in the background or necessarily who that person actually is. It's only through that face-to-face or time together that you're really going to be able to see that. And yeah, so I don't think it, I think it's changed dating a little bit. I don't think it's ruined it.
Good. Well said.
I don't think so either. I think you kind of get like a little background check on people. I think it's a way for you to like kind of like see, okay, this is the stuff that they like. You know, kind of give, like Aaron said, a couple of glimpses into their life. It's not the whole story. It's not the whole book. But you see some glimpses of the of pages in that. But I would even argue that it's definitely like push people to covet more. Because and I'm gonna elaborate on coveting in a minute. It's like people see these beautiful couples on Facebook. People get married on Facebook, and it kind of like has some people in their minds like, I want that badly. I want that badly. So, and I say for that particular person, if you are looking at couples on Facebook, or you see all these pictures, and you know, and it looks nice. And you're starting to like be like, I want that with everything and anything in my heart. Okay, now it's time for you to like say it. Just turn off Facebook. Just log off. Log off. I need you to log off a little bit. Just log off. Get your head straight. Log off, because to look for a date just because everyone else is dating, that's not it, bro. Don't do that. Yeah.
Yeah, I actually want to speak to that for a second too, and share a bit of a personal story along those lines, because you brought up how Facebook can kind of cause that envy in you, you know, that covet is, and that's true. I think that can trigger things in us. But I remember when I was about 14, before Facebook was even invented. I know I'm dating myself with that, but or it might have been just around, but I don't think so.
The social network didn't happen.
Yeah, it didn't happen yet. It was close, but it didn't happen yet. But I remember seeing couples in the church, seeing people that I was surrounded by. I grew up in the church, and I had that same yearning. It wasn't anything inappropriate, but they were together, and they had that companion. And I remember thinking to myself, I want that. And I literally took time in my prayer time. I said, God, I want a girlfriend. I want somebody I can have that companionship with. That yearning was there just from seeing it around in culture, because you're going to see it whether you're on Facebook or not, or you go out in public, you know, unless you live in a cave, you know, it's all around us, right? And it's almost glamorized in a lot of ways. And I wanted that, but and that's not an unnatural or a sinful thing at all to want that. And I remember taking it to prayer, and I talked to God about it. And one night, as I was praying about it for about the millionth time, you know, God spoke to me and he said, John, am I not good enough for you? And I remember when I heard that, it broke me, because it helped me realize that this had become an idol in my life, that I wanted this relationship so bad. It was all I talked about to God. It was all I desired. It was all I wanted. It was consuming me, because it was an unhealthy, or it wasn't an unhealthy desire, but it went to an unhealthy level in my life. Because I wanted it so bad. And that's the thing with it, is I allowed it to consume me. So I repented right then and there. And it was at that stage in my life I committed to God. I said, listen, until I know this is a person you've called me to pursue, I'm going to surrender this desire to you, that I'm not going to casually date. I'm going to wait until I hear from you that this is somebody that you're calling me to pursue for a long-term relationship. And I stuck to that. And of course, after I did that, like, people came out of the woodwork, and I was tempted even more and wanted to get into the relationships. But I stuck true to my vow to God that, listen, until he told me. And it wasn't for another about 7 years before I started dating. And the only person I dated is the person I married. You know, we dated for 3.5 years. We got engaged during that time and got married after the 3.5 years. And it was, for me, the best decision I could have made, because I saw this was a pitfall in my life, in an area that, you know, had me, because I desired that even more than I desired to grow in my relationship with God. And I challenge you guys out there, give your relationship opportunities to God. Not necessarily that everybody is only going to date one person. God might have it in the cards for you to date several people before you find the right one. But if you surrender it to him, if you talk to him about him and include him in the process of dating, you're going to be far better off than if you're just winging it or depending on your own devices to help you decide and navigate this field. Because I believe God wants to be involved in every area of our lives. That's our dating relationships. That's our home life. That's our work life. Everything. Our career choices. Whatever we do, if we surrender to him, the Bible says he'll make our path straight. That if we, and he knows us, he desires to have a relationship with us, that if we can commit this to him, we will be blessed, and it's going to be better for us if we can do that. So that's been my experience, and I love opportunities to share that, because God's so faithful to what he does, so and what he promises, which I love. Cool. So that's my soapbox for today, all right? So I'll move on to the next one here. Are there any keys to sexual purity in dating?
Wait till both of y'all say I do.
Okay, wait. So abstinence, yeah, and I established that right at the start of the podcast here, that, you know, we believe the Bible makes that crystal clear. Yeah. That's what we're called to do, yeah.
There's a podcast I listen to. This guy is a pastor in Atlanta. I forgot his name. I say what he was talking about, I think you might know him. Andy Stanley, that's right. He was talking about those things on the road, those metal
guardrails.
Guardrails, yeah.
Yeah.
And how we have to have guardrails in our life. Mm. So it's like, if you know what's going to trigger you, that's where you stop at. Don't go any further. Don't go any further. Like, if you are dealing with lust, maybe you should not see that 50 Shades of Grey movie. Yes, sir, sir. You know, that's my observation. If you think, you know, with your partner, if you think kissing is going to trigger you, maybe you shouldn't kiss. Maybe just go stick to hugging or holding hands, you know? So it's definitely, like, those are the key things is, you know, don't make sure, you know, your partner says I do, both of you guys, and have guardrails up.
It's good.
don't go any further. And I would say, like, you guys need to, you and your partner need to establish that first thing. Like, not like first date, like.
Might be a mood killer on the first date, right? Yeah.
But like early on in the relationship, just so you guys know, like, this is as far as we're going to go with this.
Yeah.
Then we're not going to go any further. And if any, and if your partner says, if you say I have no limit, and your partner says you have no limit, though, that's the seeds to disaster.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. You know, I think often the question that comes up when a question like this arises is, how close can I get to the edge without crossing the line?
Mm.
Where you're already asking the wrong question if that's what your heart is how much can I get away with without crossing the line? In reality, you know, if the edge is right there, you want to stay far away from the edge. You don't want to get right up to it. You don't want to, you know, it might feel good for a moment. It might help, you know, it might be very feeling driven. But in the end, you don't want to get too close to the edge because there's danger near the edge, right? So those guardrails that you spoke of, I appreciated that. And I've heard mm-hmm. it said as boundaries, right? That you set those lines far away from the edge so that you don't get anywhere near falling off the edge in these boundaries. And I think that is the key, is communication for sure, making sure you're talking about it, you're communicating with one another why this is important to you and why you don't want to cross this line. And then you have guardrails up in place. So, like Eric really demonstrated very clearly. So you set the boundary early on in the relationship, and you make it very clear that this is the guardrail to protect us so we can have the best life that God has for us. Because, again, these things in the right place are wonderful things. But out of bounds or in the wrong timing is actually going to harm you and bring destruction rather than joy and pleasure. So that's... I think you nailed it on the head. The guardrails is huge. Yeah. Communication, having it there is definitely a big deal.
And to go biblical here, because, you know, sexual immorality, having premarital sex is a form of sexual immorality. Like, everywhere in the Bible where it talks about sexual immorality, it says to flee from it.
Mm.
Don't even go near it. Like, with anything else, like he tells us, okay, we you know, you can fight this, but sexual immorality, he says to run as fast as you can, flee from it.
That's good.
So yep. That means that's something we should not even go close to.
It's good.
Yep.
It's good. Awesome. All right. Next question here is, when should a single stop dating? What do you think? When should a single stop dating? It's an interesting question, right? You know, because I think it can sound like, okay, well, singles date. This is what they do to get to know people and stuff. But I I'm inferring on this, so I'm not 100% sure, but I imagine they're saying they've been at the dating game for a while, they've dated a bunch of people, haven't found anybody that's stuck. At what point should they just stop trying and just say, maybe I'm called to a life of singleness, maybe, you know, what does this look like? When should I say, I've tried it and it's not for me? What do you think?
Well, if you listen to or watch any romantic comedy, as soon as possible, because as soon as you do that, you'll find your soulmate.
It's all over the rom-coms, you're right. Maybe that's the ticket, the secret there, yeah. Right?
So as soon as possible, I would say. But in reality, I don't think it's something, like, if you're honestly wanting to find someone, you may want to take a break for a time, I would think, but it's not something necessarily to stop or to keep looking, to not lose hope or...
Mm.
Faith that you'll find someone in that situation. Again, you may want to take a break from it and just live life or pursue God in that time or get closer to Him and see what happens, because you never know when someone who's going to come into your life or anything like that. But as far as like stopping, again, you may want to take a break, but I wouldn't necessarily say like stop forever or anything.
It's good.
So, I have a couple of stories, a couple of examples. One, I'm reminded of that story in the Bible of Laman, is it?
Naaman.
When he had leprosy, was it?
Yep.
He went into the water. Disgusting water, by the way. Like, I picture the Hudson River next to the city. Dirty. But he went into that water. Like, he had to go in it 7 times to be healed. So, like, how many... So he probably went in once and was like, this is not working. Twice, it's not working. 3 times, not working. 4 times, not working. And, you know, if he would have gave up at the 6, he would never have been able. So, there is a point where you just don't, you don't give up. I agree with Aaron where I'm taking a break. I know with me, I went on a couple of dates, but they never really became anything. And this was a time where it's like my parents were like, when are you gonna start dating? When are you gonna start dating? And I didn't hear from God yet of who I'm gonna date, what she's going to look like, the name of this person, is it's like, where can I find this person? None of that. The only thing he told me was to not go on online dating. Just don't do it. And I'm not saying, you know, people out there don't do it, but that was my own personal conviction from God is, people in your life want to say, try online dating. I don't want you to do that. So what I did for me is I focused on what God wanted me to do. And God wanted me to focus on the youth group. I wasn't even the youth leader at the time. I was a youth leader, but I was like more of the assistant. Somebody else who taught me well was the leader. But God told me to just, and I just felt it in my heart to just focus on the kids right now. And literally, just when I was focusing on the kids and everything else, that's when my fiance came to my life.
It's cool. It's a perfect segue into our next question here is, are dating apps okay? Because you just shared a story that if somebody heard might think, oh man, that church is against dating apps all of a sudden. So let's talk about this. So are dating apps okay? What do you think?
Like I said, it's between you and God, it's between you and God if you want to go that route. I would pray about it very strongly, very eagerly. If he gives you peace about it, then you know it's good. If he doesn't give you peace about it, I wouldn't. That means he either may have something better for you. Heck no, I don't know why I said that. He does have something better for you than that. But I'd say it's just in a matter of prayer. So if, like I said, if God gives you a peace in your heart that I can do this and I'm gonna find this person, or if he doesn't, then he's gonna have you find somewhere else, whether it be at a church or a random stopping job. I don't know, but God's plans are very mysterious. So it's just a matter of really trusting God. You know, before me and her started dating, I was just more focused on God and seeing what he wanted me to do. That was my main focus. It wasn't girls. It wasn't none of that. It was literally God and the youth group.
Yeah. I think there's a theme kind of in what we're sharing, and it's that God, if he's at the f- focal point of your life, if he's your primary focus, that he'll lead you and guide you to navigate all of these pitfalls, obstacles, challenges, desires that we have, all these things. So if you're desiring a relationship, God can make it clear where you can find the person that he has for you, if he has a person for you in that moment. Because sometimes he's telling you to wait. Sometimes he's telling you to, you know, delight yourself in him, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. And for a season, maybe you are to be not in a relationship, and that's okay. But for me personally, I've never used a dating app. I got married before they were really popular. But I am not opposed to them. I think it is something that it's a common place people meet nowadays. I've heard a lot of success stories from them and stuff, and I am not at all against dating apps. I believe they do have their place and their purpose. I do caution people all the time, and this isn't just with dating apps, but dating in general, to make sure you take the time to get to know people. Make sure you spend time in public places with them first. You know, you do all these things. You put some cautions up so that you can truly get to know the person and build trust. You know, you use wisdom. Just be smart about it all before you jump into something. But at the same time, Dating apps, I think it's another venue to meet people, just as many other venues exist as well. So, I appreciate your guys' input, though. That was good. All right. I think this will probably be our last question for today. And it says, how do I know she or he is my soulmate? How do I know?
So you're going to point to the one person who's never... hasn't met her.
Hasn't met her, yeah.
So if, from my years of speculation, I'll point back on this. I would say the way you would know is... I don't know fully if it's like this knowing thing or so much just you've built a relationship, you have experience with them, you have a peace from God that this is okay, this is right, and it's someone that you can see spending the rest of your life with. It's not someone that's a pain to be around or stress. Like, sure, not every moment's going to be amazing or magical, but in the long term, like, you can see yourself spending the rest of your life with them. It's not a short commitment. It's, you're not going on a vacation together. You're buying a house together. You're doing these things forever. A show that I love has the front porch test, where the way they would see who was a good fit for them was to say whether or not they could see themselves as old people sitting on a porch of their house. And that concept of being there together, as old people, like you have all this history, there's no secrets at this point, you know everything, and you still want to be by that person. Mm-hmm. If you can say yes to that, I would say they're the one for you. If you can't, I think you have some thinking to do.
I'd say for me, it was definitely that assurance with God, knowing I have a peace about it, and just like, you know, I was able to look at my fiance and be like, yeah, this is it. Even before she even became my fiance, like, if you can just look at someone and just be like, even like after a few, you know, it could take a couple of dates or, you know, or whatever, but you just have that peace, and whenever that person's around you, it makes your day better. You look forward to seeing them, you know. And, you know, when you see them, even if it's for, like, a minute or an hour, you are blessed and happy with that. And you know, not only that, but, you know, just to have the person go through life with you. But what happens with life is you go through seasons.
And if that, and if that person can help you and support you through those seasons, because life ain't gonna be good all the time. Mm-hmm. But if you have that one person that could just stand beside you through the seasons and through, through the growth of you, because the thing is, both you guys are growing together, and just being there for each other, helping them and supporting them, that's the key.
It's good. You know, it's funny because we've mentioned throughout this entire time being led by God and everything too, but I can honestly say too, if I had like a dollar for every time I heard a single person tell me, oh, God told me this person's the one for me, I'd be a pretty rich guy. You know, because people throw it around a lot because we get caught up in the emotions and the feelings of what's going on. And so this person just feels perfect and they seem wonderful, and you might think they're your soulmate, but I can tell you, that feeling isn't enough to carry you through that process as well. That is, it's this proven trust that I can trust them and communicate with them and talk to them and share life with this person, and that they accept me even though I'm flawed, because we all have flawed areas. Even though I have these issues, because we all have issues, you know, that we can walk together, and that this person is committed to that process, as Eric said, of growing together. I think that's huge. You know, it makes it sound maybe a little less romantic, because it's not that ooey-gooey, like, oh man, I saw this person and I knew instantly I was going to marry him. And then, because I'm not sure that that's a proven track record. You know, there's lots of people that have those first love butterflies and things like that, and they don't end up together, you know, because our emotions can deceive us. They can trick us at times too. But it's truly through that commitment. And I do believe this, is that love is a choice. And that it's not an emotion, it's not something that you just feel, but you choose to love. And if you can find that person that chooses to love you in spite of you, even though you've got these issues, these things that you're working through, and you can love them in spite of their issues and the things they're working through, and we can, you know, go together for this joint goal of growing closer to God and closer to one another, you found something special there. And that's really great, and you can build on that, and you continue to grow in that. And I think that helps nurture that relationship. But I caution and encourage everybody in these, you have to get through those butterfly stages to actually look at it without rose-colored glasses, without the shades or the speculation that, oh, this person is just perfect and they complete me, where you got to live a little life together first. And I'm not saying move in together and live that way, but I'm just saying you got to go through some things together. You got to have some fights. You got to have some conflict that you're working through, so you know you're growing together and you're working through things to become better versions of you, the person that God has created and destined you to be. Because that's, I believe, why God puts other people in our lives in general, is to help shape us to be more like Him. You know, and that's the ultimate goal for us as Christians, is to be conformed to the image of Christ. And we see all through the Bible, that's what marriage is a picture of, is Christ's love for the church, and how we're to love one another as Christ loves us, and all of these amazing things. And you have to be committed to that process, because I can tell you, there's some ugly in me. And I know there's some ugly in you too. Mm-hmm. There's some things that come out as you're under pressure, as you're under stress. And when we're committed to the process of loving God through it, we can have that compassion towards one another when those things do arise, when those things come up, and we can work through it together, you know. But building trust is huge, and walking through all of that process, I think, is a very big deal in that process. But awesome. Guys, thank you so much for sharing with us and spending this time with us. This was a lot of fun to be able to hear from your perspective and see what God's doing in your lives in this area. I'm excited to see what God does for you, and I hope these answer your questions. If you guys have any other questions about other things, we're doing these monthly podcasts. We would love to hear from you as questions are being asked on it. Respond, put your questions into the comments, and we would love to tackle some more of these issues for you. I hope this was a blessing to you. God bless you guys. Take care.